Moments when your life changes. There will always be a before and an after, separated perhaps by a knock at the door.
Okay.
And in my case, sorry, it was two police officers at the door.
Yeah.
They came to tell me that Gavin had been involved in a road traffic accident, that he was in the Royal Infirmary, he was in the theatre at that moment, and there was really no point in going to the hospital then, because he would be in theatre for quite some time, but to phone at a certain time. I can't remember what time of the evening this was, but before he left the house, which must have been about seven-ish, Gavin had ruffled my hair and say, cheerio, see you later. And that Gavin I never saw again.
Yeah.
So I think this must have been about 8:30-ish, so, because I think we went along to the hospital at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was the day, that was the time that
everything changed, yeah. I remember seeing a notice in the waiting room of the operating theatres, and at this time, of course, Gavin now has what's called an ABI, an acquired brain injury, but at that time it was called a head injury, a traumatic head injury, and there was this notice up saying, because the word carers hadn't been invented then either, do you look after someone with a head injury, something like that. And I was thinking, oh no, that's not me. So that's a wee bit about information. You have to get information at the right time, when it's appropriate for you and when you can assimilate it, because if it's not,
right,
it's useless.
At that stage, you haven't begun to think of yourself in those terms.
No. But when Gavin was moved from one thing, he was going to survive. He was moved from intensive care, not high dependency, intensive care to high dependency. And one of the nurses came up to me. He was there for quite some time. I can't remember how long. But after he'd been there for a week or two or three, I don't know, one of the nurses came up to me and said, I'm really concerned about Gavin. He hasn't been eating for a wee while, and now he's stopped drinking. Can you speak to the doctor, to the consultant, because they won't listen to us? So I went in search of this consultant, and I saw him disappear into the men's loos. So I stood outside the door and waited for him to come out. And when he came out, I said, why did you save my son's life just to kill him now? And he looked at me and said, oh, it's started to blast. Oh, it's not up to us to decide who will do well and who won't. And I said, look, I can't stay here talking to you any longer because I will burst into tears. And off I swept. Now, I didn't say anything to him about the medication that Gavin was on, which is what the nurse, he was so heavily medicated, that's why she thought he was stopping drinking. But he knew what I meant. So the next day, this little nyaff came bouncing up to me and said, I've rethought Gavin's medication, and they'd reduced it.
Right, okay. So, but you had to really take a stand and say there's something wrong here.
Yes, which I didn't know.
Mm.
I mean, because I was completely ignorant. I mean, you learn these things as you go along. And if it hadn't have been for the nurse telling me, and the nurse knowing that she couldn't go to the consultant,
she couldn't question him.
She couldn't question him.